calling the meeting to order. I'll stand for the flag salute, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Sorry, guys. Roll call.
I have Commissioner Purvis.
Here.
Commissioner Callen.
Present.
Commissioner Brittenfield.
Here.
Commissioner Ray.
Here.
Commissioner Spann.
Present.
Commissioner Correll.
Here.
Commissioner Hanlon.
Present.
Thank you.
I think it would be a good time to welcome our new Commissioner, Marianne Hanlon. Welcome to the Commission. And we have another new face down that way. Congratulations.
Chair Ray, if I may, our new city clerk here is here to do installation oath of office for our new Commissioner Hanlon, so I guess this is the time on the agenda to do so.
Okay. A motion to approve the minutes presented.
I motion to approve them as presented.
A second?
I'll second.
Okay. Remembering that we are recording this, that was Mark Correll, Commissioner, and Nicole Purvis seconding it. You can all help me as we go along with this. Next.
Chair Ray, we do need a vote.
Oh, just get that. All those in favor, aye. Okay. Written communications. We have none.
Nothing, Chair.
Okay. Oral communication. We have no one wishing to speak. Public hearings. We have none today, so we will move to item I-1, sign review for a double garage on Spruce Street. Will be Paul Bingham from the Planning Department.
Commissioners, this is Paul Bingham from Planning, and the item that you have before you is 449 South Spruce Street. This is a 1905 California bungalow. It is considered individually significant in our survey that was done in 1990, and the applicant has asked that they be able to demolish the garage in the back and replace it with one basically in the same footprint, the same size. We did some research and could find no permits for the garage up until about 1976. And it has a double rolling garage, and it's not a Craftsman or a Victorian. Although they did have carriage houses in the back where this is. It's obviously much newer than the original house is. And so it is not considered a historic structure, even though the main house is. And so you can see some photos here of the double garage. It's been added onto a couple of times. It's also integrated into the hill with siding up against dirt, which hasn't fared very well. And that's why it's dilapidated and in very poor condition. So what we have before you is a proposal. And if you look on the site plan here, you'll see the main house off of Spruce and the garage in the back. And then a blow up of that same site plan is on page 3 of what you have on the dais. And then on page 2 are some elevations of what this is going to look like. Obviously, it's not a historic structure now, and to rebuild it, what we asked them to do was to try to get closer to the roof pitch and do the same sort of exterior cladding, but at least it wouldn't fight with the main house. And we're also appreciative that they kept it in the back, so that it is a rather large structure, and if it was right next to or attached to the main house, it would certainly take away from the charm of the house. So, we've reviewed this as staff. You can look at all the details. It is also integrated into the hill somewhat because of the topography, but they are going to do proper construction so that it won't deteriorate the way the other one did. We're recommending approval as staff. You're representing the contractor or the designer, correct?
And the homeowner.
Yeah, okay. So if you have any questions that I can't answer, you will be happy to as well.
I'm sorry, I missed it. What is the siding going to be, stucco or clapboard?
Wood siding.
Yeah, it's showing wood siding. And the windows will be double open style. And then a plain man door. The only thing that really doesn't fit maybe is the rolling garage door, which is the double door. You wouldn't see that perhaps anymore.
Commissioners, any comments or questions?
I think it looks great. Certainly it's going to be a big improvement in that neighborhood.
Commissioner Purvis, I am curious what the window material is, wood or vinyl?
You want to answer that?
Yeah, they have,
Can you?
Here? In the heritage shelter, now that has what we call sing-alongs that are really a problem. I mean, they've got masks and tape trying to prevent them from leaking water air. I think Gallant Stream Medical to replace those to the same look in vinyl without a year from now or whatever. To do a new construction property here, we get a similar look, you know, up and down sliding single hung window in vinyl, so it's higher energy efficiency, easier to clean, but maintains the look.
I have a question for staff. I remember, I think in November, property, an ADU came up and it was talking about whether or not the windows needed to be, I don't know if that was just specific to the ADUs or if that was specific to any construction within properties that are within the district, and this is a property within the district. Question for you, staff.
so once you put a kitchen in and some other things, some of the windows and doors weren't in the right place, so they were asking to move those. But yeah, we did not love the new vinyl.
And then, so this particular, we didn't get a historic resources inventory form with this, but it is within, is it a designated resource, or is it just within the district? The old Escondido neighborhood? Because the guidelines would apply to any even new construction garage or not.
The house itself is on the local register, and if you'd like, I have the assessor's record and also our historian's record that was done in 1990.
It's not in the old Escondido?
No, it's not in the district. It's a property that's outside the district, but we have a number of local registers that are in the historic district.
Just a matter of note, a proper wood window would be as energy efficient as a vinyl window, energy efficient, and all the things that you described, it would be more expensive. That would be the main difference. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was me, Carol Ray. Making that comment. Back to Commissioner Purvis, do you want time to review that?
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions from the other commissioners? I'd like to see a simplified garage door. This may just be a representation of, but it just seems a little busy for a carriage house door. We can, you know.
It's actually reminiscent of the current door.
Oh.
But.
Okay. All right.
From,
you know, I'm
from
not,
the 70s.
I'm, again, Carol Ray, I'm not holding anybody. You know, this isn't a do or die kind of a thing. Occurred to me there are such wonderful garage doors out there now that would give that flavor. Further comments? Commissioner Purvis.
Yes, I would like to dissuade you from using a vinyl windows. The style is fine. If we're going for the wood clapboard to match the existing house, obviously, my perspective is has to be more with a differentiating, not making it look historic, but being close where it's not a complete distraction. The record it says on there that is the garage matching the house, but I know that there's questions.
That's obviously an error.
And obviously the residential building record, which I did not see, but Mr. Bacon said that it's not listed on there. The vinyl windows kind of conflict with general preservation standards. And I agree with Commissioner Redd that there are good quality wood sash windows out there. I'm not opposed to the style that you're being felt. Because I know the house has seems like a one over one glazing versus this one is being proposed with more red glazing, a little more red glazing, like four over four. I don't have any opposition to that whatsoever, but I just wanted to just ask and consider wood sash. Full cane wood sash, open vinyl.
And Commissioner Ray, it's just one window, right?
Yeah, would it be okay if they delete the window altogether, if they can't pay the extra?
Well, I don't know what the use inside that section of the garage, whether they would be allowed to eliminate the window. That's something that the building department will have to assess.
Okay. Yeah, I don't.
They have rules for egress. And,
The a good quality wood window could be a better investment. If it's if the price difference is that drastic, you're talking about a very inexpensive vinyl window that would need to be replaced. I mean, it's going to deteriorate faster and farther than what has been in there and hasn't been maintained. So it might be worth the investment.
I have one more question. On the bottom of the drawings, it says that the that the final product will not look exactly like these plans, and the final product will vary the appearance from the plans and the artist's conceptual drawings. And is it? I don't understand what that means. Does that mean that we're that it's because of the drawing versus the real thing?
Yeah, I think we usually put a. That's kind of for the homeowner too, because we can't replicate that artist's rendition exactly. So it gives us the ability to be reasonable and say, you know, this siding, the distance between them is a variable of half an inch, or you know, that's what they can expect, providing there's a margin for real material.
I think that. The middle was very nice. I appreciate it as a commissioner.
Commissioner?
Yeah, I have a couple of comments. Commissioner Spann, it's just one window. Ordinarily, if this was in the district, I would say it's got to be wood. Where it's at right now, personally, I think vinyl would be fine. But we're only talking about if you go with a better quality vinyl window. And I don't see that as a budget breaker on something like this. And in the long run, it's going to look better. I can tell you right now, if you ever go to replace the windows in the house, you will be using wood. You're not going to get a okey-doke and anything else. My recommendation would be to just go ahead and put the wood window in. I think you're going to miss that window, even though it's a long window on the inside.
Yep.
If your finished product deviated in the least from this drawing, you could have a problem. This is basically just in your professional statement from you that your finished product will basically look like this. The color will match the house, yes. And the style will match. Yeah. Then I would really suggest that you just put the wood window in and save yourself a lot of back and forth.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. I'll recommend that to the homeowner. They're on the bed budget. Stressful with this for years, and they finally pulled together the financing to do it, and then we got pushed to the back. There's added cost because of a retaining wall they need now to hold back the soil, and it wasn't just a flat on grade like it would have been in the front. And so we've been coming to them with this trickle effect. And so they were kind of, I felt like last time they were pushed to their limit, they were ready to just scrap it. And so we're just leaving, just hang on, you know, we'll get through this. And so I'll introduce this concept, which I agree with you, and you probably have all been on it. It's probably about $500. So, you know, do we split it? I don't know, global war or something. To go with it. I agree.
Anything else? With that, I'll move that we'll accept the plans as submitted with a wooden double hung window. Have a second.
Commissioner Purvis seconds.
All those in favor? Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, under current business, item I-2, discuss upcoming historic preservation.
Thank you, Jerry. Adam Feinstein here, Principal Planner. Just wanted to start the conversation, as we do annually, regarding the Historic Preservation Awards, which are presented by Council in May. Last year, we honored Escondido's agricultural heritage. We've looked at various adaptive reuse. We've looked at certain properties within the Oilers Cleveland neighborhood, a bunch of other things through the years. I've only been around past three of them, but need to figure something out for this year. So kind of just opening up the floor to solicit input from the commission and ideas, and then we can take those and run with them and come back with some kind of more semi-concrete information for you at the next meeting in March. So the floor is yours. Please provide any ideas.
Topics?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like themes.
Right. I'm sorry, I should
go. Well, in years past, we've looked at homeowners who have taken a good, you know, they've taken it to heart and done really nice maintenance on their places. We've looked at arrows. We've looked at, we did Adobe's one year, signs another time. So,
commercial.
Commercial. It's really up to you.
You know, I was racking my brain, and Commissioner Ray, and the only thing I could really think of was, you know, our downtown, several businesses have taken the historic look and quality to heart, more so than some of our other businesses downtown. I wonder if we might honor then make it about our historic downtown. I can't think, you know, living in Old Escondido, so many of our houses have now been restored so beautifully, and I can't think of any recently that have done anything.
Commissioner Carell, what about Doug's house down there that he just painted on the corner? The one across from the beach house? Yeah. He did it. The house is gorgeous. It's been unpainted for ever.
My house has also been, I don't know if you've seen it lately, but it's been very good.
Which one's that?
Turrentine House, 5th and County.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And it, because it was very much in need.
There probably are a couple of those, I don't know if necessarily. The theme is kind of the hard part, because, you know, we've been going through so many themes, but there are individual residents. Absolutely.
We did that ages ago.
Commissioner Spann, I agree. I think we've given out too many awards every year. We need to find it to maybe just three maximum. And when we started putting the categories, then it became a little bit more difficult. Because right now, I'm thinking of one in particular out on Citrus that Victorian, I think, was moved on, which is a beautiful house. But every time I drive by it, it's like, where did that come from? Where did that come from? It's just well maintained, well out of the district, but it's still an excellent example. Repurposed house.
What's its purpose? Yeah.
Repurposed it in that the old house has fallen apart, moved it, and put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears and good. Made and restored it purpose.
Are you referring to the Shea Homes out on Cimarron, Cimarron development?
No, I'm talking about it's on Citrus. Between Oak Hill and Addison on the east side of the street. I get the address next time with a client. You're usually going somewhere and you realize you're passing it. You don't even take the time to stop and turn your head to look at it.
Commissioner Purvis, I'm just throwing out a couple ideas. Maybe a cultural landscape. Of landscape, whether it's in the public or the private sector, residential, the roads, I know kind of falls into like last year's agricultural in a sense. It could be that. It could just be anything from somebody who's done, has heritage trees or something and who maintains them in the proper way. I recently received a notice of a speaker, I believe, coming to the Old Escondido neighborhood. You know, I know that a lot of people put in a lot of time and energy into their landscaping. And then another possible theme would be mid-century modern. You know, that's something that everybody's been looking into. There's a lot of nice buildings out there.
Chair Ray, correct me if I'm wrong, did we do Mid-Century Modern about 3 years ago? I think that was like two weeks after I started here.
So. Well, the Adobe's fallen out.
Yeah, and we did Mid-Century, so it was a ranch house, and Mid-Century Modern. I'm thinking of another paint job. I don't know. I'd like to think there. I know a paint job is expensive and there's a great deal to it, but I'd like to think that there are people who have gone farther than that. Yes, the Bandy House would be great, turn time. And I wouldn't hesitate in honoring them, but I'd like to think some people who really went to a great deal of effort might receive an award. I can't think of any.
Commissioner Carroll, well, once Williams clears up his code enforcement stuff, he would be on the docket for the house that was the original San Diego County Fair location. That house is gorgeous when he's done with it. It was a bulldoze before he got there.
Which
1048 Metcalf. So it was the original San Diego County Fair location over on Metcalf Commission. So he completely restored the house, kept every single original window, went back to the original paint colors. The only problem was he was a little rushed in some of the things he did, so he didn't necessarily run it by power to the police. So he had some inspections today. This is my understanding. The things they thought potentially were an issue, it's more grading to create their own properties. Sometime you're over there, you know the house, you know where it is. I think it's 1886.
I was about to say the year, but I'm sorry, the address, yeah. Not the year.
He's done a really good job. Just drive by and check it out. Look at and see the look and feel of that.
Commissioner?
1048 Metcalf.
Commissioner Purvis, does it need to be a theme? Or send you emails?
So, Adam Feinstein again here. From what I'm gathering, in my experience, I've been here for three of these, and there's been a theme, but from what I'm hearing from Chair Ray and others up here, there has not always been the case, and it's been individual homes and properties that have been honored that don't necessarily fit a certain category. So I guess the answer is no, it doesn't have to be a theme. If there's individual properties that just are stellar and stand out, that could be the way we go.
Commissioner Ray, we have two potentials. If we can work out the code enforcement issues on one, significant restoration. Commissioner Correll, you're into the Adobe world. Are there any Adobes that have been significantly improved?
Selfishly mine. I've spent probably $300,000 the last 2 years on my house. Trying to think of any other houses. I haven't physically been to a bunch of them except for the ones on the tour. And some of those are worth it. Errol's is beautiful. He's got a couple years to get there.
Well, and I don't think we qualify. Commissioner Ray, I bet we could find one more, and three would be sufficient, wouldn't it?
I believe that, Adam Feinstein here again, I believe that three is approximately what we've tried to hit in the past. I think last year there were three awards, but they were, given to families or something, so there was a dozen people up here receiving them. But I think three is about the number that I've seen and kind of historically known to be probably right. I think that's a good number where it's not too limiting, but it doesn't open the doors to anything that someone wants to throw out there.
Well, I think maybe we look at the two addresses that have been shared today, Commissioner Jimmy, your name just blew out. Commissioner Spann would maybe track down an address so that we can go take a look at that. And then maybe we'll come up with another one that, and there's got to be another one that's.
So, Chair Ray, again, Adam Feinstone, we can look at items. Obviously, there have been a number of homes over the past couple of years that either inside or outside of the El Escondido neighborhood that have been brought before you, and we can look and see what of those may be something that was a significant improvement and upgrade to the site. What I want to do is try to find probably potentially another two properties in addition to the Citrus and the Metcalf one, with the understand or with the thought that if the Metcalf one is still in code enforcement, I don't want to figure out on any type of honor at that point. So you know, if we can come up with another two addresses based on what Paul and myself can find on our records, as well as any properties that you guys know of or that you can come up with.
What about Commissioner Correll? What about Todd Martin's property on 5476, the one that has the accessory structure just on the left? One right up the street from you, has the big dragon here in front that we just approved.
Oh, it's a possibility. It's a possibility.
Yeah, just throwing it out there. He did such an amazing job. You know, the preservation was a little back and forth with you, but it's a beautiful home. He did everything.
Commissioner Cowan here. I like Commissioner Purvis's idea of considering some kind of landscaping as for an award. And I have another question. Does it have to be something physical? Can it be for instance, a person who advances historic preservation in the city?
Adam Feinstein here again. It can definitely be an individual or an organization that is that advances historic preservation. Last time with the agricultural theme, we honored the folks from the Bandy Blacksmith Shop, which wasn't their facility, it was the organization that did that, kind of ran that. So yeah, individuals or groups of people that can be done, yes.
Commissioner Cowan again, is there a deadline for designating awardees?
So at next Historic Preservation Commission meeting, March 21st, at that meeting we will have to really nail down what the awards are and who hypothetically they're going to go to. We have in the past kind of gotten a theme and some general direction from the commission at that meeting in March and said, okay, we're going to really dial it in, but it's always preferred that we have the actual recipients in mind at that time, so makes it a lot easier on both the commissioners and on staff to have everything tied up before we get to May.
Commissioner Cowan again, thank you for giving the advance notice. I'm sure we will all put on our thinking caps. I know I will.
Commissioner Purvis, I am actually particularly interested in some adaptive reuse that, I mean, I probably am not privy to any of them when I came here, but maybe if you guys know of any that have come before the board, but good adaptive reuse, or where maybe historic property has been relocated, where they integrated into new development or something. Another idea.
Yeah, Adam Feinstein again. Over the last few years that I've been here, I haven't seen anything that's been good adaptive reuse of a property. I'm not going to say there hasn't been, but I don't recall anything over the last few years. If the other commissioners are aware of anything that hasn't been honored in the past, the last time we did an adaptive reuse, that would be something that we can look at as well. If we're looking at individual properties, I don't think it has to stick to a theme or individual, you know, doesn't have to stick to a theme, so we can go with something that's, this one is an adaptive reuse, this one is a great example of an exterior renovation, this, that, and the other. So there are other
Commissioner Spann, just to follow up on that, I know that, are you familiar with the oldest Mueller Airport that's now J&W Harbor?
Yes.
That is the premier example of reuse. But I'm thinking, and it seems to be, Carol, didn't you give that building across from Pine Tree, I don't know the name of it.
The Philons Building?
Yeah, that got awarded, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, because that, I mean, that, those, between those two properties, I can't think of another one that's more efficient and well-maintained.
Well, Commissioner Ray, I think what I would appreciate would be that as we think of things, if we could mail them to you, Adam.
Please do.
And then within a month or so, maybe you could mail those out to us so that we can look at them and it might inspire some more ideas.
Sure. So let's do this. If you can, by, let's say, the end of the first week in February, get me any ideas, any properties that you're thinking about, I can compile that list for the whole group and send it back out. Please send them to me individually. I don't want to bring up what may be a Brown Act issue by having correspondence amongst the group. And once I get those from you, I'll put them all together, I'll send them back out, and you can have that to mull over and be ready for our meeting in March. Thank you.
Thank you. Next item, 3, code amendment updates.
Excuse me. Adam Feinstein again here. I just wanted to let the commission know that we've got a couple of zoning code amendments that are in the works and being studied right now. One of them, which is going to become very pressing, is a result of the Federal Communications Commission order that they came down with a couple months ago regarding small cell nodes or small cell facilities that are going to be placed in the right-of-way. They're what you see. They're probably about the size of this monitor or something. They get put up on anything from traffic signals to bus shelters. There's not a lot up right now in the city of Escondido, but they are going to be coming. FCC has issued an order that does a lot to tie the city's hands on what they can and can't require or prohibit. Gives a lot of guidance to the industry that's really, that the order that they came down with is very favorable to the industry and not the municipality. So there's gonna be a code amendment that's gonna be brought to Planning Commission and then to City Council in the next, I think, Planning Commission next month, City Council either very end of February or early March. It's not going to come through you guys, but I just wanted to make you aware that these things are coming. We are doing everything we can to guide the placement of these facilities to appropriate locations, but that's going to be difficult. So I'm not going to say you're not going to ever see these on light poles or other structures in the downtown area or in the old Escondido neighborhood. It may happen. There's not a lot that we can do about it, but we're doing what we can. So just a heads up that that code amendment is coming.
Commissioner Ray, these are for cell phone?
Mm-hmm, correct. The 5G that you keep hearing about, it's the 5G antennas that are going to be placed along with some kind of accessory mechanical equipment that goes along with it. The antennas themselves, there's design that we're trying to push towards, and then the equipment as well. But like I've said, it's going to be a little tough to say this is what it's got to be and this is where it's got to be. I think that we've got a little more discretion in appearance than we do in location, so we'll do what we can.
All right, thank you.
And then the other code amendment that I wanted to mention, it's actually not formally, we haven't started drafting the amendment language or anything yet, but I just wanted to make you aware, I know Commissioner Spann was aware, we had a workshop on, was it Tuesday night? And then we're gonna do another one in another 2 weeks to look at land uses generally that have some kind of concerns about the type of use and where it might be appropriate. Things that we discussed the other night are tattoo parlors, smoke shops, used cars dealerships, auto repair, things that may be appropriate in one location or not in another, and not in another, but they are currently allowed somewhere and not that they shouldn't be, or it should be a commercial, conditional use permit, or maybe should be allowed in places that it isn't. Just some land use regulations to kind of look at and give a little more scrutiny to specific uses that that may, in certain senses, be marginal. So that's going to be coming. The second workshop, I think, is the Thursday, the 31st, if I'm remembering correctly, in the Mitchell Room. And there will be, from there, I think in March, our assistant director, Mike Strong, is going to bring a kind of a discussion item to the city council, followed up by a planning commission and then city council public hearing on it. So that's coming as well. Again, not specific to any historic area, but may have effects. It's not going to look at land uses, and as far as I'm aware, it's not looking at the land use matrix in the downtown specific plan, but it may kind of have some overall guidance that may in the future have some changes or have some effect on what those land uses are, and that would be under separate study.
Thank you. item four, report on limits in size of additions to historic resources.
Paul Bingham, planning staff. This was a question actually that Commissioner Cowan asked about. Our zoning code does not particularly limit the size of additions onto historic structures. That's something that given where they are and what level of historic significance they have, is something that either staff reviews or the Historic Preservation Commission. And we can usually put some sort of limits on it just by how it looks and how it, you know, affects the look and feel of the original structure. That said, the ADU ordinance that has been passed for the state and is mandated has certain criteria for sizes that far exceed what we used to allow with our old second dwelling unit ordinance. And so we don't really have a whole lot to say about that. If they're land that the property that the structure is on meets a certain size, then they can go for a larger maximum for ADUs. Having said all that, probably the best discussion that we've had on this was a few years ago, and this predates when Commissioner Cowan joined the HPC. We had a webinar that I think was produced by the CPF, and it took place somewhere in LA County, and they looked at McMansion, what they called McMansion, and they looked at examples, good examples and bad examples, and then had a panel discussion on that. Next meeting in March, we will be bringing you our CLG report that we do annually before we send it to Sacramento. And in there is a section on training that each of the commissioners have had over the previous year. So we're now in a new reporting year, and we need to start thinking about training. They are provided, we will have some one-day seminars and workshops and things that you can travel to. Once in a while we get one, luckily, in our own backyard that we can go to. But they also are providing more webinars, and they have things that are archived. So if this McMansioning one is of interest, I'm going to put together a list of some webinars that are archived that I think might be appropriate for us to watch. And then we can have Kirsten here try and set that up so that we have like a noon meeting and you all come during your lunch hour and we watch that webinar. But the one that I'm thinking of that was on the McMansioning is probably exactly, would answer your question exactly. So I will put that one on the list. And I don't promise you that it's been archived. It's always interesting to see the list of old webinars and the ones that are available, and you wonder why one isn't on the list. And I don't have a good answer for that, but hopefully that one is. And so I'll put that on the list.
Paul, I don't know if there are any commissioners, man, any webinars coming out that will deal with mandates coming out of Sacramento, but obviously there's a lot of things that we have no control over that, like all we can do is manage it to some extent. But if anything is available in a webinar with regards to, you know, whether they're Sacramento or federal mandates, that would certainly be valuable.
Out of my stone here, Commissioner Spann, I guess one of the things that would be specific to that would be the accessory dwelling unit ordinance that that we've created based on state regulatory state law and statute. That's a good one that we can look at and see if there's any webinars or any material that has been published that can give us some guidance on to provide to everyone here, as well as Planning Division staff. Again, that's, we can't do a lot about what some of these dictates from state and federal government are, but the more we know, the better able we are, better able we are to handle them. So,
Commissioner Ray, just on the design guidelines for homeowners and historic resources, our federal old manual, 37 and 38 of chapter 2 have some guidelines related to distance from one house from another, proximity to the street, and footprint, so that that might give some value.
Thank you.
That finishes the current business, and no other oral communication time. Commissioner comments. Anyone?
I'm not sure if this is the right time, but I was wondering if there was any possibility that the city would be going for an ACL chamber.
Not aware at this point if we are or not. Got to look and see what those are that are available and what the resources, the matching resources that are required, matching funds or hours, whatever it is, and see if that's something we've got the ability to do.
And Commissioner Ray, and I think that, you know, if we see something, I think that the grants themselves are you know, pretty open, especially for surveys and things we need to do. But they do take a lot of work. We started going toward a survey a few years ago, and people are willing to take on some responsibility to go forth for that. Matching grants, a lot of what we were doing back then was time that the commissioners would spend.
Right, and I've got to see if that's still an avenue that's available. Can we meet our matching side of it with staff time or commissioner time and how that works, but I don't know if that's still, I don't know how long ago it was that was a option. I don't know if it still is an option, but if it is, it's a good way to help get that offset there.
Commissioner Ray, again, I just thought I would mention that one of our honorees last year in May for the agricultural awards, Ben Hillebrecht, longtime farm family here in Escondido, passed away just the other day. Well, sad news. Anyone else? Okay. Then with that, we'll